Pastor Joe, would you come now and preach the Word of God to us?
This morning, I'd like to consider with you a text found in 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. The Apostle Paul, writing to his young friend Timothy, says, "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." The Apostle Paul says here to young Timothy, for the time will come when they will no longer endure sound doctrine. And this is likely in reference to what he said, if you look back in chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of selves, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away." So the Apostle Paul, in instructing young Timothy, is re-emphasizing this very point, that in the last days men will no longer endure sound doctrine because of this. Because they are all these things, lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, and so on. And so the connection I would like to make in your minds this morning is the connection between what Paul says here of those times as being perilous times, and that it is a time when they will no longer endure sound doctrine, that these two things go hand in hand, that perilous times and times when they no longer endure sound doctrine are one and the same time. For the time will come when they will no longer endure sound doctrine. Last week I mentioned briefly to you that the word that we have here as sound is most literally translated as healthful. They will no longer endure healthful doctrine. That is, they will no longer endure that doctrine which is most conducive to the health of the soul in delivering it from sin. The doctrine of sin and damnation in those perilous times, those times when they no longer endure sound doctrine, comes to be made the brunt of jokes. It comes to be despised by the larger cross-section of culture. And is that not true in our day? Sin is that which has been removed from public conversation and the modern philosophy that pervades our day. There is never any mention of sin. In all of these shootings that have occurred around the country, has there ever been mention made that these things are associated to and the product of sin? No, not even the conservative politicians are calling it sin. They're all calling it mental illness. Dear ones, it isn't mental illness, or if it is mental illness, it's mental illness that's caused by sin. Thou shalt not kill. Men are sinners. That's why they're doing it. Forget about these background checks. Preach the Word of God throughout the culture, and I guarantee you'll see less of this kind of activity. produce in men's hearts and their consciences a fear of God by the law of God, and you will see a reduction in this kind of activity, and nothing else. Nothing else will do. Not all the gun laws in the world will prevent this kind of thing unless and until the law of God is exalted back to the place where it rightfully belongs. You can say amen. Sin is removed from the public sphere and public conversations. Pastor Brett called my attention Friday morning to the fact that Senator Rob Portman has now reversed himself on the subject of homosexual marriage, and now he agrees with it. Why? Because his son comes out as being gay, which he came out as being gay, I would explain to you, in 2011. This didn't just happen. And what? This man's been waffling on it. And we voted for him. We gave him. We demonstrated our confidence in him by giving him our vote because of his stance on morality. And he's betrayed us. He's betrayed public confidence and public trust. He should immediately remove himself from office. He should not have to be impeached. He's changed his mind about homosexuality being sin. But without sin, what need of there is Christ? And yet he still wants to call himself a Christian. If there's no sin, why do we need Christianity? What good is Christianity? The obvious answer is, there is no good. There is no sense to it. I could think of dozens of things that I could be doing right now this morning, and I'm sure so could you, rather than sitting here in this place having your ears harangued by my preaching. If this stuff weren't true, I don't do this job contrary to the opinions of many people because I'm a people person. Isn't that the sappy, sentimental, sickening view of the ministry of the gospel that so many people entertain in our day? That the pastor is a pastor because he's a people person. He loves people. Dear ones, okay, I love you all, but I'm going to tell you, the reason I do this isn't because of that. I'd rather be riding from one end of the country to the other on an FJR 1300 being left entirely alone than to do this. It's not because I'm a people person. It's because I've been wounded and damaged by sin. And that hurt screams from my soul. And I believe the same is true of all of you. That you've been hurt and wounded and damaged by sin. And that same hurt that screams from my soul screams from yours. And I believe that there's a solution. I believe there's a balm, the balm of Gilead, which we find only contained in the pages of Holy Scripture. And so I've dedicated and committed my life to the proposition of preaching the Word of God, that there is good news for sinners, that you can be saved from your sin, saved from it. But dear ones, Jesus Christ came to save sinners. And there's no way He can save anybody. Unless you confess your sin, unless you admit your sin, unless you own up to your sin. And if we dismiss sin, if we stop calling sin, sin, there's no way anybody can get saved. And this has been removed from the public sphere. Why? Because the time will come when they will no longer endure sound doctrine. For the time will come. This is a time when men will prefer anything to sound doctrine. They will prefer speculation and opinions which do no good to the soul and actually add to its corruption and defilement and its ultimate eventual destruction. This is a time when the teaching that prevails runs exactly opposite that teaching that says we must deny ourselves and take up our crosses and follow Christ. Not a popular preaching by any means. That you must, if you will be a Christian, you must deny yourselves. What? Deny what? Your carnal lusts. The very thing these people that Paul's writing about want to have satisfied. You must deny yourselves and take up your cross. You must crucify your carnal lusts, your fleshly temporal desires. And these are times that have been in every era to one degree or another. And so we ought not to lose heart as if something peculiar is happening to us that has not happened to previous generations of Christians. Jesus, just before he prayed that high priestly prayer in John chapter 17, said, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer." That is, take courage. I have overcome the world. For the time will come. The time will come when they will no longer endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they are sinners, they want to have their sin accommodated and condoned. That's the desire of the natural man. Their lusts move them to find that kind of preaching, that kind of stamp of approval on their wicked activities, which will allow them to live at peace with their sin and their immorality. That preaching, that teaching, that stamp of approval, which will accommodate them in their carnal lusts. They want to find teachers that will palliate their lusts. That is, they want teachers that will make the symptoms of their disease less unpleasant without removing the cause. How is that possible? It's not. They want teachers that will deal gently with their vices, which reminds us of what Isaiah was up against in his day when he said of the people, he said to the Jews of his day, "You say, speak to us smooth things, prophesy deceit to us." That is, don't tell us the truth, tell us pleasant lies. Why? Because it's pleasing to them and satisfying. They will no longer endure sound doctrine, and they will hate the sound doctrine, and they will hate those who preach the sound doctrine and who stand on that sound doctrine, and they will hate that doctrine which will not accommodate their sin. They hate it, and they hate you. And they will hate the true gospel that tells men that they are corrupt, and that if they remain in that corruption without repenting and believing on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that they'll be condemned forever in that lake which burns with fire forever and ever. They will hate the true gospel of Jesus Christ, which alone has those wholesome words that can bring healing, which is true healing to the soul. There is not a better, more loving thing I can do to you people. Do I love you? Yes, I love you. I love you more than I love my own life. And these are the most loving words that I can tell you. You're a sinner and you need to repent of your sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Those are the only words that can heal a man's soul. But such is the depravity of man that they cannot receive it. They cannot bear it. They put their fingers in their ear like we read of in the allegory of Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, where Pilgrim finally stuck his fingers in his ears and fled from the city of destruction, crying, "Life, life, eternal life." as all those in the city tried to keep him back and to turn him from embarking on his pilgrimage towards the heavenly Jerusalem. He will no longer endure sound doctrine. Such is the depravity of man. They cannot tolerate it, and so they close up their ears and their eyes and their hearts to it. And we remember that it's only God the Holy Spirit that can open deaf ears and blind eyes and hard hearts. That's the only thing that opened yours and mine. It's not by the cleverness of our speech or the persuasiveness of our arguments that converts men and convinces men. God does it. And He does it by the preaching of the Word of God. He does it as He pleases. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears. They have itching ears. You know what it's like to have those terrible itches? That you can scratch them and scratch them and scratch them and it never satisfies. You have to scratch some more. This past summer, Phil and I were hiking in the Appalachians down in southern Ohio. We came back, our ankles were filled with chiggers. Never had a chigger. I never even knew what a chigger was. Our ankles were filled with them. And for 2 days, there was no problem. And then all of a sudden, our ankles burst out with these bites, and they just, oh, it was worse than poison ivy. It was worse than anything I've ever experienced. It screamed to be itched, and it would not be satisfied. We itch our ankles bloody. It didn't help. And this is how it is. Their ears itch so bad that no matter how bad they try to scratch that itch, it's never satisfied. And so it's no wonder that in all their itching, they keep trying to accumulate for themselves more and more teachers. Because this one, it only satisfied a little bit. And this one only satisfied a little bit. They had to keep getting more and more. They're laughing at me now. All men's ears itch. Which in turn causes them to want to scratch them. And the things that they perceive to be able to satisfy their itch are those things that are pleasing and agreeable to their carnal lusts. And so they run after the worldly wise of their day. They run after, I don't even know who, the Montel Williams and the Dr. Phils and the Oprah Winfreys and whoever else will tell them what they want to hear. And I can tell you it's a particular grief to me to tell you the truth, to tell you all the truth, and have you ignored and instead latch on to a lie because you have itching ears. To reject what I've told you is the truth and go and listen to somebody else who will tell you what satisfies your carnal lust and desires. But it harms your soul. And I know it harms your soul and it grieves me to see it. And it damages your testimony and it dishonors Christ. And it's no good. It's no good for you. It's no good for anybody. And it's because you have itching ears. We have itching ears. Because of our itching ears, we heap up for ourselves such teachers. We reject the good and the true teaching, and we go after those who will tell us what we want to hear. Don't tell me I can't do this, preacher. Don't tell me I can't do this because it makes me happy. Or it satisfies this desire or that lust. They multiply and accumulate wicked teachers, and they run from church to church and from person to person until they're able to hear that which accommodates them in their sin. They don't abandon all religion. They don't abandon all religious teachers, rather only those that teach the truth. And instead, you're inclined to accept and accommodate that teaching which accommodates your sin. For the time will come when they will no longer endure sound doctrine, but wishing to have their ears tickled, They will heap up for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires, and they will turn aside from the truth and turn aside to fables, to myths. As their sin and errors grow, so will the multitude of their teachers, and these will be those teachers that will lead them deeper into darkness and further away from truth. It will hurt and scandalize you. It will hurt and scandalize those around you who witness and observe your careless, willful sinning. It harms and damages the church of Jesus Christ. And they will turn away their ears from the truth and be turned aside to fables. They will multiply those teachers that substitute superstition for sound doctrine. They will accumulate teachers that substitute personal feelings and the idea of immediate inspiration for the Word of God. Surely God doesn't want me to be unhappy. Surely God doesn't want me to lose what I've worked so long for. Jesus said, blessed are those who mourn. Who mourn for their sin. Who mourn for the sin that has afflicted this world. For they will be comforted. For the time will come when they will no longer endure sound doctrine, but they will turn their ears away from the truth, and they will turn aside to fables. They will turn aside from the good and faithful preacher and to the fine preacher that titillates their ears and stirs up in them their carnal desires. That is, the desire to be like God, that I can define truth. God defines truth. How is it that God can decree everything that happens and not be the author of sin? Because He's God. That's the reason, dear ones. He can command it, and it's not sin, because He is the determiner of reality. He is the determiner of truth. He can set parameters for our lives and say, if you cross this line, you sin. You don't get to do that. These are those teachers who will scratch and tickle men's ears with words that are pleasing and agreeable to natural men like politicians do, telling them exactly what they know they want to hear. President Obama has become incredibly skillful at telling a particular segment of our people what they want to hear, because he knows it's what they want to hear, even though he has no ability to produce and follow through with that promise, and he knows it, and those people watch and see that he cannot follow through and produce on the promise that he made, and they don't care. They don't care. Because it tickles their ears. That's all that counts. These are those teachers who teach about the purity of human nature. You're a fine and wonderful person. They teach about the power of men's free will. You have the power to decide for yourself, to determine your own reality. You have the power to deny sin and to choose righteousness. They preach and teach on the excellency of men's righteousness. They talk about so-and-so who did this fine thing for the poor or this fine thing for the community. He donated $500,000 so that we can have a public library. What a fine man. Surely he will go straight to heaven. They talk about the merit of good works. Right now, in every Roman Catholic pulpit where there is a priest delivering a homily, he is focusing on the merits of men's good works. He is hastening the demise of everyone who sits under his preaching. is telling them lies and they are believing it. And so if you think I've accurately described the culture, the time we live in, your own tendency, it's what I was aiming at. And yet at the same time, I would say to you, dear ones, that we must not lose heart. This is when good men need to be called to courage and patience. That we must repent of our particular sins, particularly. This is the time that we must stir up in us that which recognizes our dependence on God. That which recognizes what is good and righteous and noble and honorable in the sight of God. We must operate and act by grace. This is when good men need to be called to courage and patience. Those who truly love souls should not let themselves be put off from hearing and receiving the true gospel. It is never more needed than now. And it's no wonder that we are such a small group. But dear ones, here is my concern. I see the storm clouds gathering. They are the clouds of war. I believe another revolution is on our horizon. That which divides this country is too deep to be settled peaceably through politics. The conservative political party, which most of us have sided with, is fracturing. It's being divided between those who are now called the neo-Confederates. That is, those who hold to a particular foreign policy that say we should stay out of the affairs of this world and focus on our own issues first and foremost, that we are not the world's police force. The neo-Confederates are those who would maintain that we must get back to a monetary system that's fixed on a standard, like a gold standard. The neo-Confederates are those who hold to a particular moral position, not a social position. Don't ever let them define it as a social position. It's a moral position. Homosexuality and abortion are defining principles amongst the neo-Confederates. And the other group within the so-called conservative party is what we know as the libertarians. Those who are somewhat economically conservative in that my money is mine and don't take it, that pretty much defines the libertarian, and that we need to stay out of each other's business other than that, and who cares about homosexuality and abortion. But I tell you, dear ones, that these, such as the turncoat Rob Portman, will eventually side with the liberal Democrats and eventually link arms with them because they are closely associated. These storm clouds are gathering, and I believe it will eventually lead to another civil conflict because this divide is too deep. We see it growing more and more in the halls of Congress. There is no agreement left. There is no point of agreement. So sharply are they divided. Even President Obama has admitted such. He says, we will never come to agreement on a budget. We're too far apart. But do not be dismayed, dear ones, and especially do not put off believing in the true gospel. If ever there was a time when you needed to stir up love for sound doctrine in your heart, it's now. We must train ourselves, dear ones, by the grace of God and the Word of God, to depart from carnal fleshly lusts and to cling to the true Word of God, the pure milk of the Word of God. Because the time is coming, and in fact now is, when men will no longer endure sound doctrine. They will hate it, and they will hate those who hold to it. Loved ones, now more than ever, we need to stand on that gospel which was preached to us from the beginning, starting with Jesus and the apostles and Paul. Jesus died to save sinners. To as many as received Him, to those who believed in His name, to them He gave the power to become the sons of God. Will you bow your heads with me? Father, it is in the midst of our growing concern that we look to You to lead us and guide us, to continue to light our way, to illumine our path. I pray that You would give grace to each one here, Lord, that we would not lose heart, that we would not grow faint, but that we would be patient in tribulation. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.